What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Missing in Miami. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
February 5th, 1965, Tammy Lynn Leppert was born in Rockledge, Florida, a cute resort town that became a satellite community for employees of the Kennedy Center. In 1969, at the tender age of 4, the outgoing curly-haired blonde kid participated in her first beauty contest. From there, she went deep into the world of Florida pageantry. Along for the ride was Tammy's mom, Linda Curtis, a professional theatrical and modeling agent who helped navigate her daughter's career through her management company, Galaxy Productions. Curtis would later say, quote, "I was constantly busy running her around to where she had to go and what she had to do, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching her excel because she always went for the best that she could go for, the highest level." But Leppert's life would be cut short in a mystery forever and bizarrely tying her to the iconic Brian De Palma film, Scarface. Today on Ghost Town, the disappearance of Tammy Lynn Leppert. From pageants came modeling opportunities, and in adolescence, Leppert began working consistently as a commercial model, appearing on the cover of CoverGirl magazine in October 1978. At that point, she was only 13 years old. By age 16, Leppert was a successful model who had competed in nearly 300 beauty pageants and took home approximately 280 titles, a kind of local celebrity, a sweetheart, says close family friend Wing Flanagan, quote, "She would bend over and kiss me on the cheek, and I couldn't quite ever get it completely off. It was rather embarrassing to walk around with this mark. I think actually I learned to wear it proudly after a while because it was almost a status symbol." Like many young beauty queens and models, as Leppert got older, she became curious about breaking into acting. Though she lacked formal training, her charisma shone through. Early photos of the teenage Leppert made me think of a young, I don't know, Pamela Anderson or maybe Kaley Cuoco, a vivacious, all-American personality who seemed full of life, with big blonde hair and a big smile. In 1980, she was cast in a small role in the teen drama Little Darlings with Tatum O'Neal and Christy McNichol. In 1982, Leppert was cast in many small parts, including a film called CoverGirl Behind the Scenes, where she plays herself, and as a participant in a boxing match for the college sex comedy Spring Break. As a note, the main poster and promotion for the movie depicts a bunch of jocks planting a flag on the bottom torso of a woman. That woman is allegedly Leppert. When the cast and crew wrapped on Spring Break in July of 1982, Leppert attended the wrap party solo. After that night would be a turning point in Leppert's life. After that night, those who knew her would say Leppert began acting like a different person. While formerly talkative and outgoing, she became distracted, scared, and depressed. Leppert avoided questions about this change, though friends and family would catch her looking out the window, behind her, in a paranoid, fearful way. According to Wing Flanagan, quote, "Sometimes I'd ask her what was on her mind, if anything was bothering her. And she'd usually change the subject, or she'd say, oh, nothing, you know, and then try to laugh it off." According to her mother, Linda Curtis, Leppert was in fact paranoid and fearing for her life. Then she said, quote, "What would you say if I told you someone was trying to kill me?" Said her mother, "I just took a deep breath and I said, 'Do you think somebody's trying to kill you, Tammy?'" She said, "Yes." Leppert would retreat into her room, often having someone taste her food or check the doors. Those around her felt she was going through a mental condition like a nervous breakdown or a quarter-life crisis, even though she would not be at her quarter-life at 18 years old. Eventually, Leppert confessed to her mother that at the party, she had seen something that she was not supposed to see. And because of that, someone was coming for her life. What happened that night at the rap party would forever remain a mystery. But even though Leppert seemed to be going through something and primarily barricading herself in her home, her career kept moving forward. 2 weeks after the spring break party, Leppert was offered a small part in the iconic Al Pacino film Scarface, which began shooting in Miami in March of 1983. For most actors, it was the break of a lifetime, but for Leppert, it was a struggle. She stayed with a family friend during that time named Walter Leibowitz, who said in an interview with Unsolved Mysteries that things were going well until the fourth day of filming. Quote, "I received a call from the casting director to tell me that Tammy had a breakdown on the set. They said it was a scene where someone was supposed to be shot and had artificial blood spurt out. And they said when Tammy was watching the scene, she started crying hysterically and it got so bad that they had to take her to a trailer. She was in a tremendous state of fear, anxiety. What it was that caused this great fear in her, I don't know. When I spoke with Tammy's mother, I told her that she should take Tammy to a doctor and also take her to the police to find out if the problem was psychological or if there was some basis in fact that someone was actually trying to kill her and get to the bottom of it." After this event, Leppert quit the film, and at her mother's insistence, she talked to authorities but never mentioned she thought she was in any danger. On July 1st, 1983, according to her friend Wing Flanagan, Leppert had an event that made her situation even more serious. The 18-year-old attacked Flanagan, smashing all the windows in his house. Curtis then checked her daughter into a mental health center for complete physical and psychiatric evaluation. There, doctors found no evidence of drug or alcohol use, and after 72 hours of observation, Leppert was released. On July 6th, 1983, Leppert, wearing a blue denim shirt decorated with flowers, a matching skirt, a gray purse and sandals, met up with her friend Keith Roberts. The two were planning on driving down to Leppert's favorite place on Earth, Cocoa Beach. However, on the way there, the two friends had an argument and Roberts dropped Leppert off, quote, "in a parking lot along State Road A1A. According to Detective Jim Scragg of the Cocoa Beach, Florida Police Department, it went like this. "This friend picked her up at her home and they drove to the beach, and we talked to him, and he basically stated that they'd become involved in a verbal argument. She had requested he let her out near the glass bank in Cocoa Beach, and he complied." Shaken by the argument, Roberts thought Leppert would be okay, but little did he know he would be the last person to ever see Tammy Lynn Leppert alive. And after the release of Scarface, everything would change. More after this break.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
On July 6, 1983, Tammy Lynn Leppert vanished without a trace. Leading up to the argument with Roberts was a mysterious and traumatic incident at a rap party that led to the teenager's reclusiveness and reverberated during her work on the Al Pacino film Scarface. As days went on, the local police and FBI soon started investigating her disappearance. Petey discovered that she left her shoes and purse in Roberts' car after he left her in the parking lot. Also, after Roberts drove off, Leppert left three urgent messages for her aunt, Ginger Kolsch, at her aunt's shop in Cocoa Beach. She also made a phone call to her friend Ron Abeles, who owned a video store nearby. Neither of them were able to connect with Leppert. Though Roberts was not considered a suspect and provided a consistent story observed by many, Leppert's mother said she thought her daughter might be, quote, afraid of him. Fast forward to Scarface's release in December 1983. Leppert was not at all left on the cutting room floor. In fact, she appears in a pivotal scene as the girl who distracts the lookout car while a drug deal goes terribly wrong inside the nearby hotel. This results in Colombian gangster Hector the Toad brutally dismembering Tony Montana's associate, Angel, with a chainsaw in the bathroom. This very famous scene begins on Ocean Drive in Miami Beach, where characters Manny and Chi-Chi sit in a convertible Chevy Impala while Tony and Angel go into room 9. As Manny and Chi-Chi are waiting, a woman in a blue bikini walks by. Manny strikes up a conversation with her, tries to make a move, which she resists, and then she walks away. This, of course, is Tammy Lynn Leppert. As people enjoyed Scarface in the theaters that year, in Florida, the case of Leppert was stalling, until a development occurred in early 1984, one that was as mysterious as one might find in any movie. Cocoa Beach Detective Harold Lewis received two telephone calls from a woman claiming that Leppert was still alive. In the first call, the woman said that Leppert would make contact when the time was right. In the second call, she said that Leppert was doing what she always wanted, going to school to become a nurse. The caller was never identified and no further calls were placed to Cocoa Beach PD. Over the years, various investigators have taken a crack at the case by comparing unidentified Jane Does to Leppert. Between 1984 and 2014, the remains of 13 different women were compared to physical samples from Leppert, but none were substantial enough to be a match. And that's only if Leppert is deceased. But what if she's still alive? Over the years, there have been many facial progressions showing an aged Leppert to the public. You can find them on Leppert's sister's Facebook page dedicated to her sister's murder at www.facebook.com/findTammyLeppert. Then, in the early 2020s, authorities produced a DNA profile of Leppert, but they didn't have her dental records and fingerprints and couldn't find any matches with bodies of missing persons or living Jane Does. Again, evidence of her body eluding identification or that she's not deceased at all and out there living in the world. Frustratingly, as of today, the case remains unsolved. So what happened to the 18-year-old with so much promise? Many theories abound, and they also seem darkly, grotesquely cinematic in nature. There are some very powerful theories all over the internet, and especially, of course, on Reddit. There's one from the Unsolved Murders Reddit, made popular by a user named DemonCoreYT. Now, his theories are not backed up by my research or evidence, but they are thought-provoking nonetheless. The first is that she simply ran away. She didn't like the pressure she had as an actor or model. Maybe from her mom, maybe from society, who knows? Then another theory, and this is also somewhat popular on Reddit, that she got caught up in drug or mob activity, maybe starting at the rap party. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. DemonCoreYT says another possibility is Leppert's friend, Keith Roberts, who last saw Leppert alive. Curtis would say she felt Leppert was afraid of Roberts, but DemonCoreYT said that 2 years after Leppert disappeared, Roberts was known to be a domestic abuser and was arrested for assaulting his wife, and that he told her she would, quote, end up like Tammy. Another theory, and this is the most widely accepted theory and discussed by many sources of mine, not only on Reddit, but beyond, is that Leppert was abducted and killed after leaving Roberts' car by a serial killer named Christopher Wilder, who lived in the area from 1969 up until 1984. Wilder was an amateur photographer who habitually targeted models and beauty contestants. Wilder went on a cross-country crime spree a few months following Leppert's disappearance. So that makes sense, and it would make sense that she would be his target. However, there is no physical evidence tying him to the case. The FBI also hypothesizes that John Brennan Crutchley, a convicted rapist and kidnapper who was also suspected of being both a serial killer and a professional spy, had something to do with it. Crutchley moved to Florida in 1983 and lived close to Leppert. But again, there is nothing tying him directly to the case. But what about the spring break after party? The paranoia? Well, according to Reddit user Boston Patriot Sox, the fate of Tammy Lynn Leppert might be understood in rumors, and one detailed blind item from the alleged nephew of the killer that Boston Patriot Sox shared on Reddit. So I'm going to read it to you, and you can make whatever connections you would like. Here we go. Quote, "Here's the supposed story, or the blind item, if you will, of what someone believes to have happened to Tammy Lynn Leppert. Obviously, the main girl is Tammy. I don't think I fully believe this, but hey, it's almost as plausible as any other theory out there, and some facts have been proven to be true." The writer of the blind item goes on to say, quote, "She didn't make very many movies or many headlines with those movies. Since her death, though, she has generated a lot of headlines and a lot of speculation as to what happened to her. According to the nephew of the killer, this is what happened over 3 decades ago. Our actress, who we'll call BQ, knew she was pretty. Men had been telling her she was pretty from the time she was in kindergarten. By the time she was in middle school, she was regularly winning beauty pageants and regularly dating men 2 or 3 times her age. They would buy her gifts and give her money, and one of them even gave her a fur coat. By the time she was a junior in high school, she had made her first movie. That was a big deal in her high school, and it was an even bigger deal when she told everyone she had hooked up with the lead actor in the movie. He was just about to hit A-list and stayed that way for a decade. Now he kind of has to fight with his brother to see who is higher on the list. I would argue the one who hooked up with BQ has a much longer career. Before long, another movie was filming close to her, and she was quickly given a part. It was on the set of this movie that she met the man who would be her killer. He was an actor, too. It was his second movie, too. He was older than her, but only by about a decade or so. Considering that she usually dated guys in their 40s or 50s, she thought being 17 and him just about 30 was practically the same age. We'll call him W.O. They became inseparable. Each day they would film and at night they would go out until all hours of the night. Her local boyfriend became jealous of the guy and would regularly try and confront the actor and even put his hands on BQ. Well, when W.O. heard about it, he beat up the boyfriend and nearly put him in the hospital. It was shortly after this that W.O. let BQ in on a little secret. He wanted to be an actor, but he paid his bills by selling drugs. He wanted to be a made man in the mob, and by being on movie sets, he was getting to not only act, but also selling vast quantities of drugs. This was Florida, and it was the early 80s. This was a market that could get you killed, but no one had claimed any territory about movies. He was the king of the movies right now. After filming the movie, they were out one night, and W.O. had a confrontation with a man who wanted to be in on the territory of W.O. Right in front of BQ, the man was killed. W.O. shot him and then put 3 or 4 more bullets in the back of his head. BQ was covered in the blood of the dead guy. She had been that close. After that, BQ was never the same. She got a role in another movie, a bigger role in a bigger movie. W.O. loved that she had landed the role because now, even if he wasn't acting, he could head to the set and sell his drugs. It was about this time that BQ told W.O. she was pregnant. W.O. said that would mess up everything but left it alone. One of the scenes that BQ had to shoot involved a murder. Remarkably, the murder was almost exactly like the one she had witnessed a short time earlier, and she freaked out. She freaked out to the point where she told W.O. she couldn't handle anything any longer and wanted to quit the movies and said he should quit selling drugs and that they should just go make a new life for themselves. W.O. said he thought that that would be a great idea. But instead, W.O. waited until he could get her alone and he killed her. He followed her from her house where she hopped in a car belonging to her old local boyfriend. Apparently, she asked him for money because she was leaving town. They got into a fight and W.O. knew he had a golden chance when the ex stopped the car and BQ got out and began walking home. She was a long way from home in the middle of the night. W.O. pulled over and offered her a ride. She got inside and he drove for about 10 minutes to the beach. He said he wanted to have sex with her on the beach. She agreed. When she got out of the car, he walked around to her side and then killed her. He then dumped her body in his trunk and drove several hours to a place where people like him disposed of bodies in a wooded swamp. An alligator would take care of any evidence. Until today, no one knew what happened to BQ. As for W.O., he hung around movies for a bit until he got chased off a movie for trying to have sex with the lead actress, who happened to be dating the lead actor. He was A-plus list at the time and is now B-list with a disfigured face. W.O. became a made man and helped the mob in the Northeast until his death about a decade ago. Very mysterious circumstances in his death. So that is the end of that very long blind item. Again, take it with a grain of salt. But considering all of the theories, what actually happened to Tammy Lynn Leppert? And who was involved? What went on the night after the rap party? I have, of course, in researching this, many more questions than answers. As time goes on, I'm hoping this is one of those instances where more people will speak up and share any knowledge that they have. Until then, Leppert's sister has a Facebook page for any tips or information on the case at Find Tammy Leppert, or you can contact the Cocoa Beach Police Department at 321-868-3251.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.